roll call. Member Lowe's. Member Graham.
Present.
Member Brangle.
Present.
Member Chapunkar. Member Walfelt. Member Preston. Chairman Brown.
If you hit the button, I think it'll...
This one seems better.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. I don't see anyone here, so...
I do have one email that I received in advance of the meeting, but if I could just... Wally just asked for the link.
Ryan's not in Ireland, is he?
Nope.
Oh.
No.
I know he went there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's dedication.
So you said you had a public comment email?
Like, who? The email I was just about to read just logged on.
Yes, if that was my email, no need to send me the link. I found it in the agenda.
Okay, great. Renee, we are at public comment. I was just about to read your email. If you'd like to speak, now would be the time to discuss your concerns. Otherwise, I can read the email if you'd prefer.
Let me go ahead and read the email.
Sure. This is from Renee Duba. Hi, Matt. In light of the quickly deteriorating economic conditions, I would like to hear how the EDC will be addressing the potential for a significant decline in development projects starts that may last for years. Of particular concern on my end of town, what is the plan for the lots along Madison, Ashland, Lathrop that will soon be empty? Because empty lots are, by definition, blight, and they stand to be empty for a handful of years given the economic environment. We will want to see some sort of interim plan for these lots that will mitigate blight and provide a buffer for Madison Street traffic and noise. Thank you. Renee Duba.
Thanks for the comment, Renee. I think we can, we will talk about Madison when we get to the development update, so hopefully that'll be fine to hold on till then. I will say that everything that's done is in consideration of these factors. We understand that the last thing we want, all of us want, is for there to be any blights on the city village property. And so the idea is that we're doing everything we can to make sure that the environment's safe and as beautiful as it can be until we're able to find development. I don't know how much I can get into the decisions that were made on whether or not to raise the property, but everything was considered, and we certainly want to make sure that that area is taken care of as quickly as possible. Definitely appreciate the comment. It's on our minds as well. Point, can we go for approval of the meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. I know Liz did join us. Steve,
yep. Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, perfectly.
Fantastic.
I want to make sure that we highlighted any updates on the chamber. Not sure if there was any, but wanted to make sure if there was, you had a chance to share it with us.
Yeah, sure. I just want to preface everything with I'm calling in from my vacation in Canada, so the internet is not that great from the wilderness. So if I cut in and out, I apologize.
Sounds great, and thank you for making the effort.
Not a problem. I think right now we have about 12 businesses that have signed up to take advantage of the free 6-month membership. It's been a tough go of it to get anybody's attention. I don't think that the issue is with the value of the proposition. It's really just getting people's attention to read the information. And I know we had discussed at the very beginning of the year before we launched this project that there's so much noise and traffic digitally these days, way more than pre-COVID, that we were concerned that with anybody getting an email or a message from us, it didn't matter if it said free 6 months, they would just think we were trying to sell something. So we tried a slightly different strategy, and that was we approached the River Forest Kitchen. So that's with Cheryl Munoz, who herself, you know, all of the businesses in her kitchen who work with her.
Thunderstorms. We're talking about this rain and what's shaping up to be a really nice weekend. We'll talk about
it coming up. We lost you, Liz. That could have been the internet.
Can you still hear?
I think we're getting some background from yours.
Can you still hear me?
Now we can, yes.
Okay. So we are working with Cheryl, and what we decided to do was incentivize people joining a little bit more than just the free 6 months. And so we are having our regular monthly business after hours next week at the Frank Lloyd Wright Home and Studio. And all of the food is being given to the event by all of the kitchens at the River Forest Kitchen. So all of the businesses, pardon me. So we told them that they could get all of this free marketing for this event and a chance to get in front of over 100 people in one evening if they just signed up for a free membership. So even just 10 minutes ago, just before I got on this call, somebody just signed up for another membership. So in doing that, we've sort of figured out a small way to incentivize people to sign up. They get their free membership, they get to know all of what we do for them, and they're going to get an event out of it as well. So I'd encourage anybody who's interested in a taste of River Forest, that's how we're branding it, to come along next Tuesday. I can certainly send Matt the information on that. But I guess what I wanted to ask from this group, and really Matt as well, that we did discuss at the beginning of the year some outreach from the village, you know, some that voice of authority, that trusted voice to say, we've partnered with the chamber, look out for their information. So I don't know if that has happened yet or if we maybe missed a step.
I'll say that was actually the promotion in a few of our weekly newsletters. Admittedly, it was not highlighted fully. It was just as part of our weekly outreach. But it sounds like at least there's some momentum towards gaining those additional memberships. So we can try and make that a more of a priority in our outreach to get that, especially with this event coming up. I think those are the type of things that people really pay attention to in our weekly outreach instead of the boring stuff, for lack of a better word. So maybe that will help.
Is there time to do it for this next out? When's the weekly newsletter?
Every Thursday.
Is there time to put something in there?
I think we can work that in.
But is that the newsletter that goes to the community, or is that a specific one that goes to businesses?
That goes to the community. So anyone who signed up for our community email list gets that newsletter.
We were also talking about, I'm sorry, go ahead. Okay.
That's the direction I was going. So last week we had talked about the newsletter that was just going to go to businesses, and Brian and Matt were saying that we tabled that thinking they were already getting the general newsletter. Yeah. Is that where that landed?
So I do know that there are businesses that are on that list. We haven't gotten through all the couple hundred businesses that we do have licensed to check if they're actually already being covered. I suspect that there's quite a few that are not on that list because it likely wasn't presented as a business motion. So we do have that license list. We shared it with the chamber. So we can reach out with those emails just as an offer to sign up for that newsletter, because I think it's useful for, even if it's not only business, that's useful to know what's going on with the village.
We have just kind of more logistics. Do you have assuming you guys use Outlook, right?
Yes.
Make like a updated folder or group with just business emails. If you do it once, that way you can send out a blast to them each time.
Right, and we do use Constant Contact for our mass mailings too, and we can separate lists. Like, for example, we have a separate list for residents that use the compost program. So if there's just something news about the compost, we don't send it out to the 3,000 names on the list because those haven't opted in. So it could be done in a similar way to that.
Yeah, that might be easier. So that way, if we have anything you want to send out, Liz, or anyone wants to send out, we can just send it to Matt or Brian, and then they can go through it, make sure everything's okay, and then we can send it out so that we know it hits all the business owners. Because we're not currently doing that, right?
Correct, unless they're already on the list.
Yeah.
But that is correct.
So, I thought we also were going to plan on doing something when they come in, and this might be a little bit scattered, but when they come in to renew their licenses, don't they have to come into this office to do so?
Yes, they can also do it online.
Yeah,
so that cycle is on our fiscal year, May 1st through April.
Yeah.
So we had kind of missed that.
Yeah.
There's a few notices that are being sent out for those that haven't gotten around to renewing yet, but we did kind of miss that cycle, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yep. But it's definitely on our radar of something to include additional-wise to bring some to this commission and also the chamber when we send out that outreach, because that's our most hands-on contact with that group.
So I guess next steps would be we could have it in the newsletter, but Liz, do you want to shoot Matt and Brian and I an email, I guess, because I know we can't put everyone on here, with like what you'd want to go out to the businesses? That way we could don't already have that kind of folder with all the businesses on there. Once we get that set up, we can shoot something out to all of them. It's probably
sure.
A good,
yeah, I mean, I can absolutely send you all an email with some just sort of draft language. I guess what I'm wondering is that in addition to an email, Matt, I don't know what your opinion is on sending a hard copy mailer, like, something that looks really official, something that looks like it's, if you're a business owner, you're going to open it because it looks like you might need to know what that.
I will just say, as I'm sure you know, is, I mean, I don't mean to speak for Matt here. Business owners get so much from the, I just don't know how effective that is or cost effective it is. You tell me, I don't know what our budget is for stuff like that.
I'm not against the idea. I'd have to check and see what our postage budget is. We have line items for public hearings, but in terms of printing a brochure, I just have to cost that. But it was only to the businesses. It's obviously a much shorter list. It might be to get some cost estimates on as to what that looks like.
Well, no, I don't know if that, I don't think that's necessary. Because I completely agree. I think that we missed our chance when you sent out the letters with the business licenses. And I agree. I think nobody wants to get any more mail, absolutely. But it was just an idea. But I think maybe we'll stick with the email. I think I had a couple other comments. One was, how are you managing, new business licenses? Are you making reference, or could you check to make sure that you're making reference to this promotion with new business licenses?
Yes, I will make sure that we do that.
Okay.
It'd probably be pretty easy to track, right? I mean, we can't get that many new business.
Correct.
Well,
yeah.
The ideal situation is that somebody from the village sent, because the spreadsheet we have is not a database, it's like a static Excel spreadsheet. It can only get updated when Matt sends us more information. So what would be great is if we got the new business license information and then we just gave them their 6-month membership. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So Matt, what I'll do is I'll let Carolyn, she's our office manager, know, and then she can connect with you. And hold on, I had one last comment. I guess that's everything.
Well, it sounds like we're getting some traction. It's tough, you know, and I think it's so funny. Giving away free things is so hard. As soon as people think free these days, they think it's a scam that they're trying to sell them something. It's like, no, maybe we should just charge them $5 so they think, you know what I mean? Like a discount. So
oh, I'm sorry. I remembered what my last thing is, and that is we're just, because our database is different, obviously, than the database you sent us, we're having to just spend some time going back and forth. And Matt, I know our office manager is going to contact you because we have quite a number of businesses who are members, but don't have a business license with you. So we put information, we have a whole page on our website now, which talks about this program, links right back to your website about how to get a business license. Because we have had several people contact us and say, hi, we want the free 6-month membership. And we're like, you don't have a business license. And then, you know, we tell them how to get one and then they go away and we never hear from them again. So it's interesting to me that there are, I think we have about 25 members from River Forest who are not on your business license list. So we're just trying to kind of collate that information a little bit more and then maybe touch base with you to see if there's a reason why, like things like Dominican University and West Sub, you know, that those are just two of the bigger ones that we're like, that's kind of strange. But, you know,
they're pretty big.
They're kind of big.
You know what would be great? What about if you had a Google Doc that had all the information on it, and that way you could update it all the time so that it's not as much of a static thing, and anyone could update it. But then you also had, you know, do they have the membership? You could just put little check boxes there, notes, and you know, a few people can handle it. This might be a little bit more user-friendly than the Excel spread.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we're happy to keep working with Matt on that and continuing moving it forward. But Matt, Carolyn's going to reach out to you about those businesses that we've got who don't have a business license to see if there's a reason.
Okay. That's great.
And
Liz, maybe we could talk with Brian on this too. Let's make a note of, it would be great. What if, we could talk offline a little bit, but it might not be the worst idea that we go out and meet with some of them, some of the larger, West Sub's not going to want to meet with us, and Dominican, I mean, we could talk with them, but whatever, but you know, some of these people might, I know you're doing a lot of work and you're having these meetings, but if we went out there, I wouldn't mind taking an afternoon and talking with 5 or 6 of them, just going by and just letting them know we're here, letting them know they know this. If we could identify some, that'd be top of list. It might be an idea. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, we could certainly work together and target a list. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, those big, the big guns, do they need a chamber membership to help them, you know, kind of survive? No, they don't. They really don't. So if we were to curate a list, Kyler, I love that idea of really, you know, looking at some of your small businesses and saying, yeah, like maybe a personal visit might work. I had also even contemplated, you know, do we have, you know, Brian or I don't know, Kathy, a Ducey sort of say, hey, you know what, I'm having an open house for 2 hours at the village. If you're a business owner, come on by. I've got free stuff for you or whatever. you know, some way to connect with businesses so that they're coming to us rather than us going to them.
Yeah, but even if, you know, even if we went by there, maybe, Matt, would you, if what's the share it, between Brian, you, Kathy, and Liz? I mean, if we can have other people certainly involved, I just don't want to, like, flood everyone's email. And there's some email things where we can't send. Whatever we can send out, sure. We'll send it to a bunch of people. And just try to get like 10 businesses that I think are not only that are probably influential as well, probably people that live here perhaps that would speak to it and just appreciate that stop by. West Suburban and Dominican aren't going to care if we stop by. We're just going to be a pain for them.
I think you'd be surprised by that. You know, sometimes the bigger companies feel as though they're just underappreciated too, and just an outreach can go a long way in that regard. So there's something to be said about connecting with your whales.
Yeah, then that'd be great. It's something we should be doing on a regular basis anyways. So they're our clients, right? To a degree, we should be talking to them. Yeah, so.
Okay.
That kind of talks about five, actually, too. Those two sort of intertwine. We just want to make sure that we always have those bullet points on there. But, I mean, that's our main strategy at this point. Any other topics in terms of number five and kind of how we're handling some of the business retention and support? Yeah, I think we got to get out in front of people and do our best to make sure they know we're here and we're on their side and we're doing what we can with sort of the limited resources and space that we have.
I mean, if we're doing all the conversations, just thinking about dividing and conquering across the commission, then questions we want to ask or things that we want to make sure aware of, but that's great use of our commission to be
totally. It'd be cool to go out and see some of the people, and I think having a bullet point's a great idea. I usually just fly by the seat of my pants naturally.
Well, for consistency across the groups, if you can't be with all of us.
Yeah. No, I mean, certainly some things that we'd want to discuss. You know, a lot of times it's just communicate. You know, I think it's great.
Yeah.
In there is just saying, hey, we care, and listening, you know. And we've done this in the past for those who haven't been involved. We've had people, large meetings. We've separated it, and recently, too. I think we actually, as a village, do a pretty good job. It's not like we have a huge commercial district, but I think we do a pretty good job of reaching out. Number six, continue discussion regarding planning, zoning, comprehensive plan, corridor study, and TIF districts. Brian.
Happy to jump in on that.
Yeah, met with John.
Yeah, I met with John and received a proposal to do the corridor work that we had previously discussed, he was hoping to be able to join us tonight. I was hoping to be in person tonight as well, but we are prepared to bring John in. John's going to be at our meeting in August for us to kick off the TIF corridor reimagining imaging process that we previously discussed. So we're looking forward to kicking that off with him in August.
That's great. Brian, we didn't talk about this. Did he have a timeline for that initial phase?
You know, I don't recall right now.
The 12-8? Go ahead. Sorry.
No, what was the question? I'm sorry. You were saying what? Now remind me again, Kyle.
Yeah, no, is there a, there was an initial time frame for that initial rezoning in that one spot. Did he mention how long that was going to be, or?
Yeah, so the first step, of course, is to do the reimaging and reimagining and concept planning. That is not going to take too terribly long. With that, then we do the 3D modeling that comes with that as well. After we do the 3D modeling and we do some testing on the 3D modeling, then we can move into the next step, which is to work on the zoning component. The zoning component will take a while, just because there are a number of different layers that we have to go through. There are a lot of public hearings that then get associated with that. But the imaging and the like, I was under the impression we should be through that yet still this fall.
Yeah, I thought it was like 3 or 4 months. And I'm volunteering Katie to do all input where necessary.
I'm ready.
Yeah,
I am ever ready.
I know you are. That's going to be great. Looking forward to seeing that. And I think I'm looking forward to having it. I'm really excited for what it's going to do for the ease of zoning understanding, but also for us to be able to eventually go out to further developers and be able to provide them with brokers and developers and be able to provide them with a well put together, thought out piece. It should really help. Development updates?
Right. So the big development update, obviously the one that we like to keep an eye on, is the Lake and Lathrop project. That is making progress. They actually were doing pretty well. They're hung up in the last 2 weeks because they're waiting on the gas utility to relocate a gas line. As soon as that gets done, they can finish doing some of the foundation work that they need to do on the south end of the property. But otherwise, they have a lot of the base foundational work done and seem very committed to getting this going forward. There's a new project manager for them, Brendan O'Riordan. Brendan has been very responsive to what we want to, when we ask for it, as far as staff is concerned. So we're genuinely pleased with the tone and tenor that we've had in our relationship with them the last, I'd say, what is that, 6 weeks, Matt?
Yes, I think that's right.
Right. And I'm not
what
putting down
the exact time frame, Brian.
I was going to ask if they have a development schedule in total. Do they have that?
Critical timeline. Yep.
Yeah, there is a development schedule that's actually up on our website. There's a page where we can follow along. Their permit is good through, again, I'm trying to do this by memory, I think August of next year is when the timeline expires.
Does that, I guess we could all look, that coincides with their current timeline?
Yeah, they started a little late. They were hoping to have all of their foundation work done by June. Middle of June, so obviously they're late on that, but they have built in some conditions and the like. So we're still pretty confident. We're very confident they'll be able to hit the timelines as expected.
I mean, the keys get well. I should take a look. He's going to be getting under roof, but
which winter?
Well, that's good. They're moving forward.
Did I miss the exact time frame when this gas line is going to be reinstalled?
No, you didn't miss.
1 week, 1 month, 2 months, what?
You didn't miss out on that timeline. We're still waiting for the utility company to make the move. It's we're stuck in a holding pattern because of them. We have used a couple of our contacts to try to encourage that work to get done, but we still haven't gotten that successfully handled yet.
Any other questions on Lake and Lathrop? A lot going on. It's never going to be fast enough for us. We've been waiting around a while, but it's moving in the right direction. So it's better than it not moving in the right direction.
I was very hopeful that we would have had an answer that the utility had been moved and that progress had started up again. That was good. I was hoping to be able to report to you today, but we didn't get that report last week. So
if it's something we can share once it comes in, good to know.
Absolutely.
Yes.
No, things are going along. I think, you know, my main thing here, my main concern is, and it seems like, you know, we are tracking on the construction project. I mean, the critical timeline as opposed, you know, in conjunction with the, the July or August 2023 date, you know, I would just like to make sure that we're not caught off guard. It seems like we do have the information, but if it's going to be a month or something, that's one thing. You know, things do happen, but if all of a sudden it's 6 months, 12 months, I mean, that's where it really gets to be a concern. I think there's none of us want to deal with. So as long as I think we're keeping an eye on there, if there's anything that we can do as a commission, you know, let us know. It sounds like it's being handled.
Well, if there's anybody on the commission that has a good relationship with a ComEd NICOR partner, that would be very much appreciated.
Never know. I can check.
So have all the units been spoken for, or?
They have enough that they're able to do construction. So they received their construction financing. Which is, we can, they have enough units to be able to do the construction. So they can build everything. A lot of times that you won't have construction financing in place until you have anywhere from 40 to 60% of the units sold. So they clearly have enough to get that financing. So they do all the work. And then some people, once it's all built, they sell the remaining units, or they don't, the developer holds on to them. There's a lot of different ways that happens.
I don't see any structural steel on the premises, and that's always an issue. I mean, if there's a question mark from NICOR, you know, availability of steel is always a separate issue. So I'm surprised that something hasn't arrived in anticipation of NICOR completing its project.
It's a good point. Sure. Yeah. But that's typical. The developments are never sold out, very rarely sold out on a condo, spec condo, before it's up. Developers typically hold on to a few, even on strong developments. Madison Street TIF, I know there was an email earlier as well. What is the date on the work that's going to be done over there?
So the RFP has not gone out yet for the demolition property. That's being finalized with the intention of that going out next week. I think our hope is, and Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, that the bid would be able to be awarded by the village board at their meeting in August, with the intention to raise it shortly after that. We're still waiting for some final confirmation from the state on their grant funding, but we're optimistic about that. There was a public hearing before the Historic Preservation Commission a few weeks ago, because the property at 7620 Madison is a significant property. The commission delayed demolition for 1 week. That's already passed. That was July 1st was the date that was passed. So that obstacle or that delay won't affect it, because we were still waiting. We didn't want to jump the gun on the commission and issue an RFP before they had even voiced their opinion on it. But that's the timeline right now. So there's still a few months out from the demolition taking place.
Sounds good. And we can talk about maybe other things in executive session as well. I don't know if there's anything to talk about there, but I mean, the idea is that I'm not exactly sure exactly how much this should be an executive session or not, but and shared that I know that on our side with the commission, we were in favor of raising the property because there's just safety concerns. There's no use for that property. There's no way to redevelop it. There's been talked with a number of different developers. There's no way to sort of incorporate that into some development. It's for those who have been inside, even when, and I was inside there, we gave a donation to the Lutheran Children and Family Services, and I was inside there. I couldn't believe people were working in there. It was in need of horrible repair. It's even worse now. If it's kept up there, someone's going to get hurt, is my thought. There's no way to kind of protect the village or the village, the people within the village. They want to say village people. We're just trying to avoid there. The inhabitants, the residents. It's just, if we're going to do something, it's got to come down, and there's no way to sort of keep it up. But I know there were some questions around that. We don't often have people that are involved, so save that for.
Well, I can touch a little bit on the concerns. We heard some of the similar concerns at the Historic Preservation Commission about what the condition of the site would be after the fact. There's concern about nuisance from Madison Street, the neighbors there, and then to this comment here, we also want it to appear. We don't want it to appear like a blighted property. We want it to look like a vibrant commercial corridor. So there hasn't been a final decision as to what the site will look like. I think the intention is to not have it look like Lake and Lathrop with just an ugly fence and a sign there. For quite some time, I think Brian and I have talked about heating and blanketing there, maybe some temporary buffer, at least to protect the residents there. But to Renee's comment, I think we're all on the same page that we don't want it to look like it was just a demolition because it was a bad building. We want it to look like an appealing development site. And we also want it to be kind to the residents, both commercial and residents that live right there.
You know, just out of curiosity, if it's raised, is there any reason we can't just throw some sod on there and make it, at least for the time being, make it some sort of relative park? I mean, obviously not long term, but I mean, you can get that sod for like $3 for five. I mean, it wouldn't cost more than $100-$200 to sod it. I mean, if you threw some sand, I'm just trying to think of something that we can do so it looks. I agree. I don't want it to look like Lake and Lathrop. I don't think any of us do.
I want to know your sod guy that could do it for $100 to $200. But yes. But to your point, though, yes, the idea is it's not going to look like an abandoned piece of property. We're looking to do some improvements on it, you know, and that's where, whether it is seating or it's sodding or it's some other landscaping there to make it look more appealing to the residents and for future interested buyers as well, to present it as a clean site and available is exactly what we want to do. And Renee brings up a point too that just came up as well, that right during that time before buildings do go on there, we would like to look at doing something with it, not just seeding the lot, but possibly some trees, evergreens along the what would be the north property line. Again, these are just thoughts of mine. We haven't completely vetted these out yet, but to add some type of buffer for the residents to the north. We want to be good neighbors as on this site.
Well, that makes sense. And I appreciate people's concerns too, because I mean, no one wants to have that right next to their yard. They want it, you know, certainly not in River Forest or anywhere really. So I think it's good that they're bringing it up and that making the village aware of it, so that, you know, sometimes these things do just happen and they get left over there without some insight. So I can't see if people have been having questions at all. Are there on the email or any?
Well, I have a question on the TIF itself. On prior meetings, I had asked how much funds are potentially available for the Madison Street project if a decision was made to use any TIP funds. I know the TIP is, there is not well funded because it's a new TIP. But is there, I thought the board was going to be asked what would they be willing to consider if it came up as a negotiating point to complete a project.
Right. And so to that point, yeah, the funds are slow because it is a relatively new TIF. However, as a development comes forward, just like we have with the Sheridan, and just like we have with other developments that have come through the community that have asked for us to be involved, we take a pro forma approach toward reviewing what their gaps are and figuring out if that is if where the community benefit comes into play, and then we can use the TIF to be able to be able to capture that. It could very well be where they have to fund it up front, you know, the developer would fund it up front, and then the TIF over time can pay it back, or there are other mechanisms that we can use as well. You know, the land was paid for, the properties were paid for out of the general fund. So the timing of when the general fund gets paid back from the TIF becomes a negotiating tool as well for us.
Well said politically. I get the drift of the answer. I was looking for a round number, but I guess that's it's too early.
Yeah, it's a moving target too, right?
It's too early. Yeah.
Hopefully none of it. Right?
Best, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
well, there's still some other issues around there, that area, so.
Yeah. Do we know what the dollar amount is of the TIF currently? I thought it was. I have a number in my head, but I'm probably way off.
I'll get that for us for the next meeting. I don't have it handy. Apologies.
Yeah, no worries. Just out of curiosity. I know it wasn't a horribly large amount.
I think Mary had a question. A question popped up.
Yeah, I think the question was about waiting to demolish the properties until there was an interest. I think one concern is that one of the properties that is to be demolished has had some structural issues on the outside. We had to close down the little portion of Madison Street because some of the facade was coming off, and the village had to invest a little bit of money to keep that up, even though the intent is to bring it down. So I think that the village wants to avoid spending money on something that's going to come down, and also especially if it's a hazard. So that would be, I think, one reason. I think there's also a concern about we were piecemealing the demolition, that means there would be more disturbance for some of the residents there. You know, we come and demolish the properties on Madison Street, then come back, and then maybe a couple months later have to demolish the other properties. That's just more construction disruption for those residents. Mm-hmm. So that's the mindset for trying to do it all in one fell swoop.
Yeah, and I think also aesthetically, it'll look better if you have something that's all done at the same time that, you know, has some plan around it. And for in order to market it to any broker or developer, it's easier to see clearly when the lot's raised, what the development site could look like, what the footprint looks like. So.
And sorry, so then what's the timing on when we'll know?
You mean regarding the demolition?
August, you said, right?
Right. So it won't begin until at least late August or September. I don't expect demolition to take that long, but until that time, don't have a timeline. But the intent is to hold a meeting or mail out to the couple hundred feet all the residents and businesses that received the hearing about the historic site to keep them in the loop in case there's concerns on the site through that process, because we don't want, there was a concern among residents that if the HPC granted approval that it was coming down the next day and wanted to know what the schedule would be and what the expectations would be, it's happening right next door. So we don't want to surprise anyone. We still have some time until we know that schedule, but the intent is that this group and any other group that's involved, especially the nearby residents and businesses, will be fully informed about that timeline.
And just thinking about beautification, if like sod and trees are the answer, you're planting in the fall, you know, and then making sure we hit that, and how can we help hit that if need be?
Right, very good points. Fall is actually the best time to plant trees is after Thanksgiving. Here in Illinois, the best time to plant trees is late November. I know it seems kind of reverse of where we all think, but that's they're in their dormant state and they actually do much better in transplant at that point. So, grass late fall, early spring is a great time for that too. So timing actually begins to work out pretty reasonably well.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Brian, that it is counterintuitive, but the timing actually could work out real well for us. Anything on the North Avenue TIF? I mean, some of this is a little bit sidelined until we get the thing with Household and Levine set up, because that's going to really hopefully start moving what we can do on North Avenue. But any update there otherwise?
Well, we had some early meetings with the TBK Grill folks regarding the former La Paria stand. They're still interested in moving forward. Unfortunately, we're still waiting to hear back from their architect on next steps and plans. So that one is still moving forward. It's a very small project, but it's still a worthwhile one for the community. So that's that one we can't share publicly right now. We've had some preliminary early conversations on one other parcel, but again, it's too early to really, I can't share anything publicly on that yet. Lastly, we did have a conversation with Elmwood Park as it relates to some landscape development work that is to occur on North Avenue. Apparently the state has awarded a grant or offered a grant for some improvements, landscape improvements on North Avenue from Harlem to Lathrop. Why Harlem to Lathrop? Because that's what they gave. we're working with Elmwood Park on the idea of developing a plan that continues all the way down to the river. And Elmwood Park is likely going to be taking the lead on that with Christopher Burke Engineering.
So would that be just on the sides? What does that look like?
As I understand it, it's a continuation of what they're doing on North Avenue in Chicago and Oak Park, which is to do a median improvements.
Interesting. Hopefully that helps with that left turn and the Johnnies. Is there a timing around that you know about, Brian?
No, they've given a notice of funding opportunity. So you have to get used to all these fund codes that the state uses. So yeah. They tell you, hey, great, there's a notice of funding opportunity, which is essentially their way of saying, yes, we know we've put the money in the budget. Then there's, I'm sorry. Did I get that right, Matt? Is it NOSA first or NOFO first?
I've seen it both ways. I think they just kind of flip a coin.
They flip a coin. So you get one and then you have to wait for the other one to come in, which is a notice of state award. And then with the state award and the funding opportunity, then you can apply for the money that they've already guaranteed you. And if that's not confusing enough to you, then you have to go through four different state agencies to get these funds.
You're the one who got into bureaucracy. I can't believe it. I mean, this seems, I wish there was some way we could do this when we're kind of looking at some of the redevelopment of North Avenue. But at least there will be something there that'll beautify it a bit, that might help. And that'll already be in place because there's going to be some business disruption, I would imagine, with that, though.
Yeah, the upside to seeing some of the improvements on the median strip on North Avenue is that showing public investment on North Avenue has the potential to be a catalyst. I won't say it will be a catalyst. It has the potential to be a catalyst for private investment, right? When you take a look, and you mentioned it, how fast traffic goes through the area and how hard it is sometimes to maneuver through the area, that becomes a bit of a challenge for, while you have a lot of traffic going by, it's hard for you to get that traffic to stop, right? When you put in some traffic calming features like that median and the like, it does make it a little bit more friendly as far as traffic is concerned. And we see it largely, you can see the benefits of that for that section on Madison where we do have that median along Madison. You know, traffic behaves differently in a good way.
Yeah, well, it's crazy on North Avenue right there. So I think that should... there's nothing else, any other business?
Hey, Brian.
Yes.
Tim, sorry, I wanted to ask that. First I heard it was a median, which I think is great. Maybe we did talk about that before, but so you're saying the extent of it will be to Lathrop at this point, Lathrop to Harlem. Do we have any understanding of the frequency of this?
No.
Yeah, all right. Just curious. That'll go a long way to improving safety, first and foremost. That's a game of Frogger up there.
Yes, it is.
You know, and that meeting will at least give you a pad to land on. But plus it also just, well, psychologically and design-wise, it helps pull the two sides together. I'm always a big proponent that we're as much a part of Elmwood and that, you know, interfacing with them, we should. And that, you know, it makes that connection stronger. So I'm glad to hear it's a meeting.
I agree. They've done a great job on their side of the street.
Yeah.
You know, across the board, they really have. So I don't know if it's part of something that has to be an executive session, but do we have any more understanding of what, speaking of North Avenue, 7617 West North Avenue is concerning the sale of a property. So I don't know if that has to be executive session, but I'm just curious. There's the article that came out.
Oh, yeah. Right. Medicine. So, we have to, I don't know. Matt, we'll have to follow up to see if we've received the certificates yet to see who the buyer was on that building. It was done as a blind closing, so it wasn't published and made public, but we might be able to find out.
I don't have any.
Yeah. Okay. Just curious
on that.
While we were on topic,
yeah,
weren't aware it was on the local newspaper. Loyola sold the.
Actually, it was the building wasn't owned by Loyola. Loyola has been the tenant. So the person who, the group that owned it sold it. I think it was Duke, sold it to a private group.
So it's most likely it's just some sort of triple net play that they're buying it and they're just going to exchange. It's going to be some REIT or some other holder, and we're not going to lose Loyola.
No, we're not. No, the lease on Loyola is good for, I wanted to say it was another 7 years, if I remember reading the article correct.
Okay. Well, that's good news. Any other business? I don't think there's a reason to go into executive session, but Brian, let me know if I'm wrong.
Nope, not tonight.
If there's nothing else, guys.
I move that we adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great.
Aye.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for the people who made public comments as well, if they're still around.
Thanks, everybody. Good
Thanks
night.
All.